The Un Podcast is brought to you by Emma, email marketing that works for you.
In a world where QR codes kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron, one podcast has set out to make things right. This is the Un Podcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
By the time you hear this, this comes out on Halloween.
Ooh, spooky. And you're wearing a Halloween costume.
I am. I'm dressed up as a keynote speaker.
Every year.
Mm-hmm. That's how, well, our oldest, Aiden, 1 year, Aiden doesn't like getting dressed up for Halloween. So 1 year he went out with the word book on his face, and he was Facebook. So
that Ben works. Has a sticker. This is my Halloween costume.
Yeah, that's
he doesn't like Halloween either.
Allison also worked out today, so we have there's a challenge going on, and that I have with some fellow road warrior speakers here, and we have to work out 3 times a week. It's just to kind of keep us all in check, because. You know, I ran for a year, and then I finished. Like, I got to the end of end of the continent and Forrest Gumped it all the way across. No, I ran 5K multiple times a week for almost a year, and then you know, I fell off the horse, which hurt. And then shout out to Red Dead Redemption 2 out now, and so it's an accountability thing. And it first started with. One friend, and then kind of got the group together, and then brought Allison in as well. And if we don't work out 3 times in a week, we owe each person $100.
I think I'm a hedge. Like, I really think you invited me in because you knew I worked out at least 3 times a week. Like, I think if you were concerned, like, sometimes I work out and I don't post it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like a psycho.
So the smart guy, like, the smart guy I am, the people who I'm competing with here, not competing, but holding accountable, is one is a former fighter pilot. One is, you know, on the borderline of semi-professional rower. And one has got to be 20 years old. I don't know how old he is, but.
I was going to say, the only other man in the group is like a spring chicken. we're competing for workouts against a spring chicken. He's not getting tired. Let's put it that way.
And then Allison, who's
a problem,
doesn't need the motivation to go 3 times a week. No. She's surpassed it every week. So yeah, so I didn't a couple weeks ago, and I had to pay out,
which is a lot of money.
Yeah, so that was a really good incentive. And last 2 weeks I've done it, so yeah. Which is the whole point of doing this. So, but although I was on the elevator in Vegas. Doing my third one of last week, and I'm coming back up.
Not on the elevator.
No, no.
Just to be clear.
No, they told me I can't do that anymore. And I'm on the elevator, and two people. It's Vegas, of course. And it's like 10 a.m, and I'm heading back up to the room, and two people get on with their suitcase and 3 drinks, and I'm like, "Well, you're doing it right." And they looked at me and said, "Well, maybe you're doing it right because I'm coming from the gym." And I said, "Well, you know, I don't. You know, we can meet in the middle somewhere." And I just mentioned, I said, "We got this bet." You know, that we have to do it every week. And the woman looks at me and goes, "But if you all don't do it, nobody owes anybody anything." And I'm like, "You're on to something."
I'm sure we'll take a week off at some point. I'm sure there'll be 1 week there where we're all like, "You know what? Let's not do it this week."
You know who doesn't take a week off? Emma. Why? Because you deserve a better email marketing platform. And here's a hot lead for you all.
I know. Exciting news.
We are coming to Nashville next week. If you're listening to this in the final week of October, we're coming next week. We'll be in Nashville November 8th doing a live Un Podcast. So if you are within the vicinity, I'm talking if you're in Tennessee, nay, surrounding states.
We expect you to be there.
Yeah, it's free. There's food and beverages and books for the first 40 that show.
Yeah, we're going to be recording it, and so you'll be able to be a part of that. Be in the studio audience, as they say.
Even frickin' Wayne is coming.
I know, it's true. You might get to meet Wayne. It's very exciting.
That's right. We're raffling off a night of drinking with Wayne.
Oh, gosh. He did not sign off on that, by the way. That is not Wade approved message.
That still has to go through the lawyers. But if you want to come, you can go to on marketing Facebook page. The event link is there. Emma's Facebook page, the event link is there as well. Or just shoot us a tweet or something, and we'll make sure we'll hook you up with the Eventbrite page for that. So please.
Yeah, come on down.
Come on down. We dig Nashville. So let's talk about... Well, we got a lot of travel stuff today.
Yeah, there's a lot of travel stuff.
Let's jump right into it from Vice.com. It says, there were signs American Airlines flight 2763 was going to be a show even before the plane took off from Phoenix on Monday. A passenger sauntered on board with not one but two dogs, which might be pushing it. And to make matters worse, he was apparently wasted, blatantly stumbling through the aisle on the way to his seat. But it wasn't until the plane was midair that the trip went fully off the rails. The Boston-bound passenger, who was allegedly already pretty drunk by the time he took his seat, crushed a few beers, slammed down some liquor, then inexplicably just stood up in the aisle. Apparently feeling in tune with his inner Gronk or whatever, he decided to turn the overhead compartment into his own personal pull-up bar.
Oh my God.
He was, quote, he was leaning up against where you put the bags overhead, and a passenger came by and said, what are you going to do, some pull-ups? And the guy actually grabbed onto it and started doing some pull-ups on the plane in front of everybody. Passenger David
Markowski told
WBZ TV. When he refused to stop trying to get his gains or whatever in the aisle, a flight attendant came by to tell him that, no, you're not allowed to get blasted and beef up your lats during a flight. But apparently he wasn't having it. He would not sit down. The flight attendant probably asked him three or four times to sit down, and he refused to sit down. And then he got verbally abusive with her, started calling her names. Unwilling to let some belligerent tool yell at a flight attendant and show off his biceps all the way to Boston, the pilots decided to divert the flight to Kansas City. Cops escorted the guy off the plane, presumably along with his dogs and the woman he was traveling with. But according to the FBI, he wasn't arrested and hasn't been charged with anything. The flight wound up leaving for Boston without him and finally touched down at 1 a.m. about 90 minutes late. We really wish we didn't have to say this, but please go ahead and add using the plane as your own personal gym to the already long list of activities you should avoid doing during a flight. And that includes yoga, too.
I have had, on occasion, on very long flights, people doing exercise in front of the bulkhead seats.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we're talking like Tai Chi, like, stretching. And I've always kind of tried to assume that it's like a health thing, because, you know, you can get blood clots on flights, and mm-hmm. I know that some people need to get up and walk, and I get that. I try to balance my own personal anxiety about flying and how I feel when a lot of people are standing up against the fact that I understand that for some people this is like their doctor said, sure, you can fly to China, but you have to stand up. Like, you know, that length of flight, like flying to Asia kind of length. So I get that, but, I mean, clearly he was belligerent, and I'm surprised those things didn't break.
Yeah.
Because I've seen they creak when you put a big suitcase in there. I can't imagine a man putting his weight would have gone very well. I guess they're stronger than I thought they were. That's insane.
I just can't imagine being on the flight.
No, you would have lost your mind.
And the bro jumps up.
Actually, 90 minutes late with all that. They actually did a pretty good job of containing it.
I'm impressed by the turnaround time. Yeah, that's enough time to get in a set.
I feel bad for the person. I feel bad for the person that was traveling. That was traveling with him.
Right?
I always feel really bad for those people.
Yeah, on a large level, like a macro level, I feel.
Yeah, like in general, I feel bad for that person, whoever that person is, because they don't just have to deal with it for this like limited time on the plane. They've got like a seat for longer.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but.
Yeah. I agree.
I have a plane story.
Nice. Well, you can't beat that, though, by the way.
No, I think I can.
Mm-mm.
I think I can.
Right.
This is from the nationalpost.com, one of our papers here in Canada. And it says, passengers all evacuated after woman brings emotional support squirrel
on plane. Oh, for the love of Pete, you win.
And there's a picture, which I urge our listeners to look up, because it's worth the trip. All right, Orlando, Florida, of course. Where else would this happen? Police had to remove a woman who brought an emotional support squirrel on Frontier Airlines flight headed from Orlando, Florida to Cleveland. Frontier says the passenger had noted in her reservation that she was bringing an emotional support animal with her on her flight Tuesday night, but did not indicate that it was a squirrel. I guess they don't ask for... It's like the rule that you don't do pull-ups on the luggage door. I think it's one of those rules they just didn't know that they needed to be so
specific.
They're
pulling a Costanza, right? If I had known that this was wrong, I would never have done
it. Like if it had said that squirrels weren't allowed, I never would have tried to bring my squirrel on the plane. So then it says, rodents, including squirrels, are not allowed on Frontier Airlines, a statement said. Very, very reasonable, Frontier, by the way. The passenger was advised of the policy and asked to deplane. I think it's... Can I just say that this woman got all the way through the airport, all the way through security, all the way past the waiting lounge, past the people at the door, onto the plane with her squirrel? I just want to be very clear that this was stopped... On the plane.
What she had boarded. What we have here is a large chain of problems.
She boarded. Yeah, there's a lot of problems.
There's a lot of fail-safes
that failed. I'm just going to say, a lot of things went wrong.
TSA, okay? Where were you at on this one?
Like, the dogs didn't notice the squirrel.
I can't bring my deodorant into the airport and a bottle of water, but squirrel, go nuts.
Like, the squirrel, which is pretty much the symbol of grabbing people's attention.
Go nuts. Just go nuts, squirrel. Go nuts, because they, like... Go ahead.
Sorry. The squirrel is pretty much the symbol, the meme for like squirrel. Like everyone's supposed to notice the squirrel. She had to deplane. Okay, so I needed to stop there. I said a police requested that the other passengers disembark while officials dealt with the woman who was eventually escorted into the main terminals. Authorities said that the passenger vacated the plane when officers arrived and that they did not need to take any action. There is a video of it, by the way, if anyone wants to listen or watch.
The picture of her holding the squirrel in the baby front carrier and giving the finger to everybody. That is the picture, by the way.
That's the picture.
Yeah, I have to...
Can I just mention again that she made it all the way to her seat on the plane?
That's nuts. Nobody, eh? Okay. I have to talk about emotional support animals for a second. We talked about it in the past of the show, and I need to say it again. Stop it. Stop it. The majority of support animals versus service animals has gotten ridiculous. You're not supposed to bring a dog on a plane because it makes you feel better. You're not supposed to bring a dog on the plane because you claim it's a service animal, but what you actually just don't want to check the animal in a carrier. Service animals are much needed animals. Service animals are something that people need to function, to live, to guide them, to alert that a seizure is happening, that are regulated and trained properly. I got on a flight last week where a dog was walking around barking, sniffing everybody, walking under seats. That is not a service animal. We are abusing a system that is incredibly necessary for a certain segment of the population. People are buying vests on eBay and on Amazon and just slap it on their animal, and then nobody can question them. And then we get to this. We get to the service squirrel, the service turkey, the service bird, the service everything. If you're anxious to get on a flight, that doesn't allow you to bring an animal on. If you have something that is diagnosed that says you can't get on a plane without a guide dog or service dog, that is different. But people are just like anything else are taking this to the highest degree.
It's really a why we can't have nice things.
It's exactly why.
It just ruins the policy that's in place for people who really need it. And then you end up with this. And it ruins the whole, like, planes are on a schedule and you're changing. You're not... that important that like your one experience is so important that you have the right to change everybody. We don't know who else was on the plane. We don't know what all their delays caused. We don't know that, like, it's just like the first plane. Like, you put out hundreds and hundreds of people and there's a chain of events that happens when one plane is late and other planes are late. And I mean, it's sad to think that we live in a world where they need to have boxes beside what your service animal is showing, like, okay, it's not a mouse or like it's not one of these animals, but I guess that's what we need. And apparently we also need signs that say don't hang on the overhead compartment things. I don't know, it's just like unnecessary sign day, but clearly I'm wrong because it seems to be necessary.
We have an article here from Bloomberg, but before I do,
before you Bloomberg
it, another shout out to our now reunited crew and Emma.
Scott's so happy.
Very excited.
He started doing his shout outs at dinner again.
Yeah,
he's excited.
Oh, good.
And we love Nashville, so we can't wait to go.
Like I said, we're coming down next week to Nashville on Thursday. And Emma just released a new product, Emma HQ, which is killer.
And the show's free, right? People can just come, hang out.
Yeah.
Cool.
Free to come. Emma HQ will take care of anybody's got franchises, restaurants, college, university, different schools, departments. You can manage all the email communication with all these places. I don't care if you have 10. I don't care if you have 1,000 locations. You can lock in different attributes of newsletters. You allow the franchisees or the location of the owners of all the different areas. They can't change certain branding elements you choose. And then you can approve the email going away. Then you can look at metrics and see which locations are doing it. I dig it. I love it. Go give it a shot. Go to myemma.com.
Do you have more travel stuff?
I do. And this is going to set me off here. A rarity, by the way.
Well, if the squirrel didn't do it, we'll see what's left.
Forget the mini bar. At fancy hotels, the new thing is the maxi bar. Hotels are turning to new bar experiences as a means to keep luxury customers on their toes and increase favorable food and beverage margins while they're at it. Enter in-room cocktail service. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Wayne. I'm looking right across at Wayne right now. While in-room dining has been on the decline, showing a 3% dip from 2016 to 17, according to hospitality insights firm STR, hoteliers are realizing that expertly shaken martinis rather than well-done cheeseburgers are just what travelers want showing up at their doors. In some cases, that means dispatching a bartender for in-person service. And at other times, it's about making a room's minibar feel more like a home.
Because everyone has a mini bar in
quote,
their home.
As the mother of a six-year-old, having a perfectly created cocktail in my room creates a really memorable moment, says Kelly McCourt, director of sales and marketing at the Darcy, which opened in Washington in April 2017 with a cocktail butler who crafts the hotel's signature drinks from a bedside bar cart. Oh, my Lord. In Miami Beach, the Nobu Hotel's beverage butler has also been going strong, ferrying a trolley of liquid wares up and down guest corridors since just after it opened in 2016. The Campari sodas he shakes are complimentary, but the hotel doesn't advertise the service in order to surprise and delight guests. Consider this the next evolution in luxury hotel service. After all, why go down to the bar when the drinks can come to you? I don't know, maybe social isolation? Here are the leaders of the in-room drinking pack. Expect to see additional resorts join the ranks in the very near service. This is a call the cocktail butler at this mid-century modern hotel in DuPont Circle, and a mixologist, I just threw up my mouth, will spend 30 minutes customizing the property's signature drinks in your room. You can order the Darcy Double, which marries soda water, ginger beer, and Green Hat gin with a variety of locally sourced cocktail vinegars, or Call of the Siren, which puts seasonal twists on a blend of vodka and Prosecco. The catch? You have to book 48 hours ahead. Meaning your G&T cravings can't be met on demand, and the butler will cut you off after two rounds. Drinks are $17 a pop, plus a $50 service charge. Available nightly 4:30 to 9:30 p.m.
I mean, it's not my thing, but I don't see how it's any different. You can already have drinks in your room, so what's the big deal? I'm just happy when there is a mini bar in my room, because some hotels you go to, they don't have them. I don't think it's a big deal. Like, there's alcohol in our minibar when we go to a hotel. So alcohol, does it make a difference?
I can drink that alone without pants in the privacy of my own sorrows.
Yeah.
My problem here is there isn't drinks in the minibar anymore.
There were drinks in
hotels
our minibar.
Hotels don't have minibars anymore. Mine is a handful. Vegas still has them.
Yeah.
Every other hotel I go to, empty fridge.
Why, though?
They took them all out. It wasn't worth the time. They have to have somebody on staff going to service each mini bar.
Oh, to make sure the stuff is there?
The refuting mini bar charges was the number one thing refuted on bills.
Really?
One thing moves.
Don't you think, though, same? That this is like, that the hotels that we're talking about here, because obviously this is a very expensive item, and the hotels we're talking about here are hotels that probably have mini bars in them. Already, like, this isn't coming to like the Holiday Inn. Like, this is like a very high end hotel.
But the high end ones I've stayed in don't have them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this is what you're looking at here. I want to give you the skinny here, okay? I want to give you let's picture this. You order the a la carte beverage that trolleys up to you, and Sven the bartender is now in your room bedside.
It's the same. It is the same as the room service person.
No. Sven is ready to mix your drink. Maybe you happen to want a Negroni. Or some other putrid beverage. So he makes it bedside. You get ready to sip your beverage because you sip it. You don't chug a Negroni, as far as I know. It's a sipping cocktail. And then they cut you off at two, and then they're off to another one. So what happens between the one and the two? You have your beverage, you sip it, $17 plus 50, plus obviously tip. You're looking at $70, $80 for this Negroni. So you're going to sip, you're going to cherish this Negroni, this beverage, for a good 20 minutes. What's Sven doing in that time?
Yeah, he's just standing there. I just think it doesn't bother me. People have butler room service people that come in their room all the time.
Boom, here's your plate. Do you want me to pour the coffee for you? I'm out.
Maybe they leave the shaker with like two drinks inside of it, and then you just do your own shaking and pouring. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a big deal to me.
What I want is the mini bars back.
That's really what it comes down to.
I don't need this stuff taken over.
Yeah, but you don't drink anything.
I don't. No, it's snacks.
But a lot of people drink. Okay, so let me redefine this for you. Snack butler.
Thank you.
Okay, so Sven.
Yeah.
His name's probably Joey or something. But Sven comes and he brings you a snack. Mm-hmm. And then when you're done, he brings you another snack. And he cuts you off at a 3-snack maximum.
I would stay at this hotel.
Snacks you have no problem with. It's the alcohol part because you don't drink. So
I forgot even to bring up, a few weeks ago we went to Minnesota for a football game.
Oh, that myself hotel! Oh my god, how did we not talk about that hotel?
And our best bud Jay went to see a Vikings game. I had a gig in northern Minnesota in Thief River Falls, and decided, well, it was the day after a Vikings game. But Jay is a lifelong Vikings fan; has never been there. I want to hit every stadium, arena, and ballpark in U.S. and Canada, so that was on my list. And we decided, the three of us, to go. So we stayed at a Radisson Red.
Oh my gosh,
which was the closest hotel to the stadium. And it was like walking into a club where they said, do you guys work here? Like, why are you here right now?
Yeah, we were way too old for that hotel.
Yeah, there was no front desk.
Yeah, big room with like a ping pong table and foosball tables.
There's like a lectern kind of in the corner, so you can't even tell. Like
Instagram background, so you could take pictures and post them.
Live camera, do a live Instagram shot of you. Foosball, ping pong, kind of a bar, but not really. With the
rooms were like red and white. Like our eyes were too old to totally adjust.
Your closet was lockers.
Yeah, the closet was lockers. The toilet was square.
The toilet was square. Yeah. Right? Yeah, get that through your
head.
That
was weird.
Millennials.
They didn't have a mini bar, and they didn't have
room service.
Room service, and they definitely didn't have a drink butler. It was really funny, actually. We looked really weird in that hotel.
It was like staying in a dorm.
It was like an IKEA kind of a bed, too. Like the whole thing was very very expensive hostel.
That's exactly what it was.
That was what it was. That was what they were going for.
When you're paying $400 a night for a room, I didn't expect to put my clothes in a locker.
It was funny. Here's something for the more grown up among us, I guess. This is from Bloomberg.com. It says, Starbucks to kick in for babysitting while baristas serve coffee. I wonder if they do it also for liquor butlers. It says, after beefing up its parental leave policy this year, Starbucks Corp will now offer subsidized childcare for all of its U.S. employees. The new benefit, a partnership with childcare provider Care.com, will provide 10 subsidized backup daycare days for parents for instances where regular care falls through. In-home backup care will cost $1 an hour and $2 an hour after the fourth child. Care at a daycare center will cost $5 a day. And it just says they felt like it was important. And so they did it. It makes me so happy. And then it says, in addition to reworking this paid parental leave stuff, Starbucks updated its sick leave policy this summer. Care at Work also provides backup services for workers who care for elderly family members. Over the last few years, employers have also started offering more benefits for employees to care for sick and aging relatives, as millennials, the largest share of the workforce, begin caring for their aging boomer parents. So it's just trying to make life for their employees better. They know that they have kids at home. Sick days is a huge thing. And many parents take their sick days when their kids are sick, right? Because you have to be there to take care of them. And so I love the idea that they have subsidized backup care. And it's quite affordable, an hour, $1 an hour, $2 an hour after four kids. That's pretty good. And I like the idea of having care for elderly parents, because a lot of people get stuck in the middle and they're caring for their kids and their parents.
Yeah, it's called the sandwich generation, right? Where you have young children, children still at home, plus you have to care for your parents. And which is funny because they said millennials taking care of their baby boomer parents and just kind of totally forget Gen X in that whole statement, which is more.
Yeah, we're probably a little more in that.
Are caring for older parents.
We just like to say millennial in every article.
We're in that reverse generation triangle now, which has been coming for 20-something years, which actually causes a huge issue for any kind of federal pension plan as well, because there's more people now retired or retiring than there are feeding into the system.
Yeah.
So there's more like baby boomers. The boom is a huge generation. So we have a large generation. Now the difference only is, and sadly, because the reasons for this happening is there's more people aren't retiring at 65, right? They're still working. It's not by choice for the most part. Because of different of what happened with the recession and pension plans and pension funds and those things getting cut. And we're in a different world now. And it's not like when we were young and our parents were caring for their parents, and it's a whole different kind of ratio now, where there's a problem. There's a big problem now. There's going to be an even larger problem. We don't have the facilities for senior community side of things built the way it is. And you see them building up all over the place, right, of senior living centers. And how do you do this? It's like they're talking about boomers now, like we talk about millennials. Like, how do we take care of them? Like, they're a different world and a different species. But we have this huge thing that has to be addressed by employers. That are you saying I can take time off if I'm sick, or I can take time off if I'm sick and my kid is sick, but not my parent?
And right? I like the idea that they're subsidizing the care, because I think they're recognizing the fact that there are a lot of times when your kids are sick and they can't go to school. Okay, so they have a mild fever, or they have some aches and pains, or they've hurt the other arm or something and they can't go to school, but they're not so sick that you necessarily need to be with them. And then you end up in this place where you can't send them to school, you can't send them to daycare, because you can't, because they have whatever sickness they have, but also you don't necessarily need to be here. And it kind of takes care of that space in between with the subsidized care. And I really, really like that, because I think it shows a lot of respect for the fact that there are going to be days when a parent is not going to be able to be at work because something is going on with their child or with their parents or their aunts or their grandparents. But, you know, there's also this whole room of space in between where it's, you know, the babysitter gets sick, or the school has a PD day, or there's, you know what I mean? Like, this gray space, that's where most of us live. And that sort of, well, they're a little sick, you know? So what do? And parents sending their kids to school when they're sick causes more sick kids. It's a problem. Kids need to rest when they're sick. So I like that it feels, and I'm not sure about this, but it feels like something very employee driven. Like, employees were saying, like, look, we really need this.
Right.
And it feels answered for me. And so I like it. And how much better are they going to come to work the next day knowing that their company cared about what was going on with their family, and they're going to be better employees because of it, and people are going to get better service because of it.
Well, and it comes down to the productivity part of it, where how productive are you going to be?
Yeah.
If something's happened to somebody you deeply care about. And some people want to be at work if something happens because it takes their mind off of it, and some can't function at all. Or
the sickness gets worse, right? Like you don't have the proper care in place, and ends up that what was a minor illness becomes more major, especially with seniors, right? That this need to rest and be cared for in a sort of a place they feel comfortable then becomes a big sickness because it wasn't taken care of. And I think that these kinds of care, where you're in that gray area, that kind of care really improves quality of life for their employees. So I like it.
Speaking of quality of life, I think it's time for a made up word.
Don't make any sense. Don't mean no offense. It brings laziness. What is all this craziness?
This week, our made-up word. By the way, if you submit a made-up word to us, it's simply a word that gets made up, usually a combination of a couple words. What is that called? That's called a sacroiliac. What's that called? Two words together?
I don't know.
There's some other word for it. Anyway, conjunction. Thank you. Wayne just pulling out the knowledge. Don't even know if he's right. Well done. And did I also found out today, my train of thought's going everywhere today.
Yeah, you're all over the place.
I found out yesterday.
You would have seen that squirrel for sure.
That something, like an acronym, right? You know, an acronym. It's not an acronym unless you say out the acronym. Does that make sense? So unless it's you use the acronym as a word, it's not called an acronym.
What's it called?
I don't know, something else.
I don't understand what you're saying at all.
So let's say I just spoke at National Association of Convenience Stores.
Okay.
NACS.
Yeah.
If you call it NACS, it's an acronym.
Yeah.
Because that replaces you saying National Association. But if you don't use that as a phrase, NACS,
yeah,
then it's not called an acronym.
Hmm. Interesting.
Right? Knowledge.
You're always learning things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you have a made-up word and you see one and you're like, what? Send it to us. Tweet it. Facebook. Email. Go to unmarketing.com. Go on the contact form. And if we pick your word on the show, you get to pick any of our books and we'll send it off to you. This week's made-up word is frunk.
Frunk?
F-R-U-N-K. Frunk. Wayne Little John, what do you think? The playoff of crunk, by the way. That was a joke. That fell bad as a nuts one. All right.
No idea.
Wayne's not even trying. All right.
I don't know what it is either. French something?
So, Dan Stevenson sent this. Since Tesla vehicles don't have an engine in the front, what do they do with that space? They've made it a trunk in the front, or a frunk, as they call it.
Oh. Isn't it the hood?
Yeah, well, the hood's all over an engine.
But it's still the hood. Like, what's inside that's it? What you'd call it, the hood, right?
Yeah, well, what's under the hood?
The engine.
But no engine in the Tesla.
Still a hood. Frunk. The hood's the piece of the
hood. But lift the hood up. What's under the hood?
Well, in our car, an engine, because we don't have a Tesla.
If there's no engine, it's a frunk.
Or you could just say hood.
Frunk.
Okay, I'll say frunk.
Thank you.
That's what happens to the people who they give them more than two drinks in their room. They get frunk.
We call that full circle. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see some of you in Nashville, hopefully, if you're not coming.
I'm so excited for Nashville. I love Nashville.
We'll see you there. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.